Blog Talk Radio.
I'm terribly sorry, sir, but your credit card
has
been
declined. Your unemployment benefits ran out 2 weeks
what
ago.
What do you mean I'm overdrawn?
2 weeks ago.
I still have checks left.
Too much month left over at the end of the money. Bad credit holding you back. Want to become a real estate investor but haven't won the lottery? Learn how to fix your credit. Get out of debt and build true financial independence with real estate in 2 hours a week. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She'll show you how, without winning the lottery or working 10 jobs. And here's your host, Heather Wagenhall.
Oh, I want to be real.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. Are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And for this Saturday, August 14th, 2010, we are broadcasting live from the Log Mahal in Payson, Arizona. And it's our Break the Budget Day. I can't believe it. We're finally here. Ugh. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, welcome to the broadcast. We broadcast the Unlock Your Wealth radio program each and every Saturday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and talk about financial wellness and crisis management tools designed to help you and your family manage your finances and attitudes for the single purpose of creating financial freedom. It's a daunting task, let me tell you, but I have tons of help to get you and your family on track, and this week is no exception. We have in our chat room, moderating and sitting in the production chair, the ever-popular effervescent Kristen Hun is back in saddle and joining us. So if you have any comments, questions, concerns, or complaints, keep them to yourself. No, just kidding. Share them with Kristen in the chat room if you're listening live from our Blog Talk Radio show page. If it's possible, we will take your question live on the air. And if we do so, you can win free stuff. How about an autographed book? I will personalize a Yes You Can book for anyone who submits a question in the chat room that gets answered on air. How would you like that? It would be great as a receipt for yourself to help you empower yourself to wealth. Or you could have it personalized for someone else, someone special in your life that you want to help them remove barriers and reach their fullest potential. I would be happy and delighted to do that for chatters. So if you have a question that gets answered on air, you will receive a fabulously personalized book from moi. I know you're on the edge of your seats. You can't wait. You're sitting there with bated breath. What can I say? What can I ask? How can I contribute? So while you're thinking of that, I want to tell you about who else is coming on today's show to help you manage your finances and attitudes toward your money. And we have today, he is returning for a second appearance, so he must like us quite a bit. The ultimate cheapskate, Jeff Yeager, will be popping by. And he is going to share his wit and wisdom about living the cheap life. And he's going to talk about his latest endeavor, literally speaking, his new book, The Cheapskate Next Door. So you won't want to miss that. He'll be coming up in this hour. And then next hour, we have Coco Brown, comedian Coco Brown, on her path to financial independence. She is our Unlock Your Wealth protege for this season, and she is having some challenges managing her finances as an independent businesswoman. A comedian is self-employed, if you will. And, you know, the road is lonely and riddled with financial challenges everywhere we turn. So we are going to check in with Coco and see how she's doing so far. And we will give her some more tools this week as we all pursue our Break the Budget key. So for those of you who have been listening regularly, this week's key is what we have been waiting for to complete the first leg of our financial journey in our Where I Am. And for those of you who have been listening regularly, we started our journey toward identifying where we are by starting an assessment. And in our second key, Take Action, Make Assessment, that's where we decided that we were going to move forward and take that first step toward figuring out where we are by doing an organic assessment. And in the second hour, we're going to go into detail about what we did to get to this point and what our job for this week is with regard to our finances. Now, we have so much more. We have our Millionaire Minute for this week, and I don't know, for those of you who are regular listeners to the Saturday show, have you started listening to our other two broadcasts? We have quite the lineup now. On Tuesday mornings at 6:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, you can start your day the millionaire way in 15 minutes by listening to our Millionaire Nuts and Bolts show. On this show, like we do on Saturdays, where we crawl into the heads of top millionaire thinkers, instead of 60 seconds worth of information, we go in-depth into the minds of millionaire thinkers, see what their habits and ideas are, and show you step-by-step strategies on how you can incorporate those same tools and ideas today to get you financially well today, so your wallet will follow for financial independence tomorrow. And that's each and every Tuesday we tackle a new and important theme. And this week was pretty fabulous. So go ahead and visit our website at www.unlockyourwealth.com to find the archive for the show. And make sure that you listen to it over and over if necessary until those habits become your own. And then our trivia question is usually pulled from a previous broadcast, and the midweek update always lends ourselves to some great trivia questions. And this week, was it new or was it used? How should we be buying? While the ultimate cheapskate would probably always say buy used, there are some things that you need to be buying new and not accept a used variation for your health and safety. We have an incredible article on our blog this week, as well as the list of things that you could buy new or used on our website. Again, surf over to www.unlockyourwealth.com. And today's trivia question is to name one thing that you should buy new and not buy used. There was a litany of new things and things that you should always buy new. And all you have to do to win fabulous prizes is to name one of those things. You can win financial coaching. You can win credit report review. You can win autographed books from our previous show guests or a personalized book from moi. Or you can have identity theft protection. The list goes on, and all you have to do is get the right answer. And you can win one of three ways. You can chat in, call in, or email in to win. And simply, if you're listening live from the show page, hop in the chat room, share with Kristen your potential answer. Or you can email in at trivia@unlockyourwealth.com, trivia@unlockyourwealth.com, or you can call in to win at 1 718 1-718-508-9002. 1-718-508-9002. And it looks like our board is lighting up with callers. So if you think you know the answer, you better hop in that chat room or get on the call, get on the shtick, because it's quite possible that someone might already have that right answer. So, again, the trivia question for this week is, name one thing that you should always buy new. Our show is packed with goodies. I am just so excited to talk about this week's show. So, again, we have also some great articles this week: Stock Market Performance, Minutes on Your Money, Millionaire Minute, our Keys to Riches, Nuts and Bolts, and more. Coco Brown and Jeff Yeager coming up next, all on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. So we are going to take a real short break, and we will be back with more Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio and the ever-popular cheapskate himself, Jeff Yeager, coming up after a few short messages from our sponsors. Stay tuned. You're listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I'm your purveyor of prosperity, and we'll be back in a minute.
Hey, this is Coco Brown from the hit radio show, The Truth with Coco Brown, on HollywoodOutlaws.com radio. And you're listening to me on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from Peak Performance Seminars and the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching could be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420. Or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Heather Wagenhall's here from the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation. And for those of you who choose financial coaching to help you achieve financial wellness and future financial independence, we have a special offer for you. For those that call today, the next 20 folks that sign up for financial coaching will receive a special package. In addition to their coaching, they will receive both Season 1 and Season 2 of our Best of CDs. These are the interviews from today's top personal finance and investment experts to help you accomplish your chosen path, and a copy of my book, Yes, You Can. Call now, 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Be sure to ensure your financial wellness today by calling 1-866-966-9420 or visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, Industries.com. Like, go there, totally!
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And in cheapskate fashion, Jeff Yeager is telephoning in from a payphone to be a part of today's broadcast. You have seen or heard from him on the Today Show and probably read some of his famous work, and he now has his new book out, The Cheapskate Next Door. And to help us get better insight on living the cheap life, we have Jeff joining us. Jeff, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, Heather, it's always a pleasure to be on your show, and you know you really rank when I'm calling you on my dime from a payphone.
I know, twice now. I feel so special.
Well, you know, I don't have a cell phone, so I make the best with the payphone system.
Yeah, so, you know, do you like that lack of connectivity? I mean, is it solely about being cheap with the cash, or is it about that you don't want to be that reachable?
No, the cell phone thing is a quality of life. As I like to say, Heather, when people's jaws drop when they learn that I've never owned a cell phone, I like to say, you know, I can afford the luxury of not owning a cell phone.
Yes. Sometimes they're fairly intrusive. And
not sometimes. Not sometimes. The vast majority of times they're intrusive. They detract from the quality of our life, and they cost a fair amount. The average plan costs about $90 a month, so more than $1,000 a year for the bother of it.
And you know what? I sold cell phones when I was 18, and back then a phone was $600, and it was super hard for people to justify that expenditure, and it was about 50 cents a minute. And nothing's really changed except for the fact that we have, marketing-wise, conditioned everybody that we must have one for safety. And now we give them to our kids, and they're still $600. People don't realize that, but the big communications companies suck you in by giving you a contract and only charging you $200 for that $600 phone.
Yeah, and of course the safety issue is much disputed. Clearly cell phones cost more human lives than they save on balance, and we're starting finally to see some common sense on that issue with Oprah and others getting behind moves to ban them. I also claim, and I'm out on a limb on this one, that the cool thing will be those of us who can afford the luxury of not having to own one. Mark my words.
Oh, agreed. Plus, in a life-threatening situation, I think I'd be more effective with my pistol than I would my cell phone anyway. By the time I called somebody who cared, my life might be over. So let's talk about what you've been up to lately. You traveled across the country, near and far, meeting with cheapskates around the land.
I did. You know, my first book, The Roadmap to True Riches, was about me and my odd little life. And my new book, The Cheapskate Next Door, the subtitle is The Surprising Secrets of Americans Living Happily Below Their Means, attempted to show that you could live frugally, more simply. You could do something very un-American. You could live on less than you make, and you could lead a wide range of lifestyles while doing it. So it's not just about young people or old people or single people or married people or people with lots of kids or people with no kids. And it's all, the book, by the way, also is about people who have a wide range of income. Some are truly, truly rich, with incomes of nearly $1 million a year. Others have such a limited income, they could have qualified for public assistance, but they chose not to because they said, hey, I already have more than enough to live on. So, you know, these are the stories of people who live largely debt-free and who are happier because of their frugality.
So let's pick one of the people that you met with that was an extraordinary example of choosing to live beneath their means.
Well, in all, there were 320 cheapskates I surveyed, and so I'm kind of reluctant to pick out one. I mean, they run the lifestyle from people who are clearly rather bizarre. I mean, dumpster divers and so on. One woman out in the San Francisco Bay Area who rarely buys food. She prefers to repurpose food that's been thrown out by restaurants and so on. And this is a choice on her part, in large part an environmental choice, rather than necessarily just an economic choice. So that's kind of one extreme. But there were a number of cheapskates in Arizona that I interviewed who led perfectly normal-seeming lives. A couple of them were interior decorators. One was a couple still in their 40s who had, with modest-paying jobs, managed to just realize their dreams of retiring young while still in their 40s. So it's not about, you know, any one lifestyle. It's showing that if you have certain attitudes about money and know certain secrets, that you can not only stretch a dollar, but in fact you can enjoy life more by spending less. So their choice to live more frugally was rarely grounded in a desire to simply have a big bank account. It really wasn't about money at all. About 92% of the people I surveyed said, no, it's not about money. For a lot of them, it was actually tied to a strong religious belief, which was kind of surprising because it didn't set out to poll just religious folks. About half of them cited religious beliefs. The other half were largely non-religious, but they often cited environmentalism or some other ethical beliefs as really the underpinning for why they wanted to live more frugally.
Was there any other item that stuck out, like possibly the religious beliefs that you didn't expect to find in your research, but was there some startling discovery that you came about as you were interviewing all of these people?
Yeah, the book is really filled with that. I mean, stuff that in often cases is sort of counterintuitive. And let me just back up and say, as you know, I mean, I'm not a social scientist. I'm just a cheap guy living in Southern Maryland. And my survey of the 320 cheapskates was admittedly a very self-selecting group. These were largely people who came to me and said, you know, we've heard about how you live, and you know, we live similarly, even though our lifestyles are different. So I don't for a minute claim that these are common people. They're clearly not the pensive penny pinchers that most people think of when they think of a cheapskate. They're clearly not dishonest. They're not trying to game the system to save money. So it's a really rare breed. And so I discovered a lot of interesting things about them. For instance, while, you know, they hate to spend money, they tended to be twice as generous in their charitable giving as the average American. And again, I think that's a sign that their decision to live more frugally isn't about the money, isn't about the money at all. On a kind of a personal finance level, if you will, a couple of things really surprised me and stuck out. Only about 10% of the cheapskates I surveyed had a formal written household budget. You know, we always think of a cheapskate as somebody who pencils out every expense and so on. And what I've discovered is these are real black belts of personal finance. They've made smart spending and consumption second nature, so they don't even have to think about it. When I ask about household budgets, many of the cheapskates said, well, that would be like having a diet, you know, something that I'll probably fall short of, something that that's going to be on my mind all the time. I don't want to live like that. They've really just internalized smart spending and smart consumerism. One cheapskate said, we live our budget. We don't waste time writing about it. So that was surprising. Another surprising thing on the personal finance level was that only about 20% had something they described as a formal emergency fund. And, of course, most financial pundits say, well, you have to have an emergency fund. Now, don't get me wrong, it's kind of a semantic difference. These people have assets they can draw on, but they have their financial houses so much in order that they don't need kind of a general undesignated slush fund for emergencies. They plan for all the contingencies, so they rarely have something called a, you know, unforeseen emergency.
Mm-hmm. Now, it almost seems, the more I talk to you, that cheapskate is more of a way of life than like an economic or financial planning decision. Would you agree or disagree with that statement?
Yeah, I think frugality, leading in what is in many cases a simpler life, a less consumer-driven life, is really what it's all about. And as you know, Heather, from my first book and from our previous conversations, I use the word cheap and cheapskate largely just to spark people's interest. I don't use it in a pejorative sense. To me, it's a
good shock value.
Yeah. And you can call it thrift or frugality or whatever. I call it cheap just because I want to engage people in this conversation, which at times can be funny, but at times can be very serious.
And I don't know, you know, people put the negative connotations on the word. The definition, I don't think, is a negative one. I think it's just a general a statement. But, you know, the thing that people say is you're having that guy on, and they'll say, you know, doesn't it take more work and effort and money to try to pinch the penny than it does to make the expenditure?
Certainly for some people who might be described as cheapskates, it does. Not for the 320 people featured in my book. It was, in fact, the exact opposite, which is these are people who, above and beyond anything else, value their time. And they view the process of earning money, as well as saving money, as to be in the context of their time here on Earth. So these aren't people, again, who are trying to save money for the sake of having a big bank account. In fact, they've figured out what they want in life, and they've made money a less important part of their lives. And let me give you a real-life example. These people, the kind I talk about in my book, most of all hate to shop. Shopping isn't fun. It's not recreation. It's not therapy. These aren't the people running from store to store to store to try to save a nickel. They're what I call premeditated shoppers. They go out only when they truly need something, and they know exactly what they want and what they're willing to pay for it. They're very strategic in that sense. They're not, as I say in the book, bargain hunters, per se. They're simply the ultimate in smart consumers. So here's an example. The cheapskates I surveyed tend to shop for groceries no more than once a week, and some of them shop only once a month for groceries. The average American shops 3 to 4 times a week for groceries. So you tell me who's coming out ahead on the time-money matrix. I mean, clearly the kind of consumer I talk about in my book, who I call a cheapskate, is far ahead when it comes to spending less money and spending less time.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody wants to live the frugal life, what's the thing they should start on first?
I think it's a very hard question, and I think the answer kind of goes back to what a large part of my first book was devoted to, which was this question of what enough would look like for you. Everybody's answer to what enough money and enough stuff would be is different, but, you know, most people never, ever in their lifetime ask that question. All they know is they want some more. They want some more money. They want some more stuff. They want more money than they have now. They want more money than their parents had or than their neighbors have or whatever. And it seems to me like that is, in essence, the definition of the rat race. We burn up what powers we have here on Earth simply chasing after more, never asking the question what it would take to satisfy us. And I know that's probably a much more philosophical question than or answer than the question you ask, but I do think that's the place to start, and that was central to the stories I tell in the book, the new book, of all these people who are not only living well on less, but they're much happier because of that decision.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, because until we know what that picture of satisfaction is, how do we move toward it, or how do we eliminate the other excess if we don't have a definition of enough? I like that answer, and I think that's a tangible answer.
And you know, and I think we would agree, you and I would agree that the best time to do that is early in life, but you could do it at any point in life. I mean, I'm always blown away by the number of people who have never contemplated that, and it is sort of a sign of the times of what we're conditioned nowadays to do is to simply always want more. And again, these cheapskates, and I put myself in this category, have answered that question. And the answers may be vastly different, but at least it's given us something to work for. And in some cases, and I'll put myself in this camp, I decided at a fairly young age, you know, and I'd only had a modest income in the nonprofit sector, that I already had enough, that I had already arrived. And I'm not saying everybody should have that same benchmark, but you should at least know what the answer is.
Mm-hmm. And I think the filters that we use to define that or how we view things also have an impact in what that level of satisfaction is. And if we focus on the wealth we already have, then maybe we wouldn't feel so wanton for more if we could just take a moment and appreciate where we are now.
Absolutely. And another aspect that really comes out in the new books is that the cheapskates in the book have a very crystal clear sense of what's a need and what's a want. And you just touched on that a minute ago. So that's not to say that the cheapskates only invest in things that are truly needs, but they understand the difference between the two. And when they spend money on a want, they make good and sure that that's really what they want. In this book, I coined the term wantonizing. We wantonize our needs. An example being that shelter is clearly a human necessity. I mean, we need shelter, but in this day and age, we wantonize that need into 10,000 square feet with granite countertops. And so, you know, we need to kind of always back up and look at that. And cell phones, we started this conversation talking about cell phones, is another example. Are they truly a need? And quickly we go down the slope of saying, well, they are, and the sort of the sky is the limit. And again, don't get me wrong, the cheapskates next door spend money on things that aren't truly necessary, but they make very sure that, one, they get the best possible deal, and, two, that they truly want it. They are into delayed gratification. And a large part of that is they are very averse to personal debt. Only about 5% of the cheapskates I surveyed had any consumer debt other than a home mortgage, and 85% of the cheapskates who had home mortgages had either paid them off early or were working to do so. So for these people, debt still stings, just like it did, you know, a few generations ago. And you know, these are people who do not confuse affordability with borrowability.
And that's a big blurred area. Where is that line? And you know, I always say, well, when we borrow, we're trading our future unearned income for today's instant gratification. And how do we determine where that is? So would you say that a common thread between all of the folks that you interviewed, that clarity is probably ubiquitous amongst the cheapskate, clarity of their goals, what their differences between their needs and their wants are?
Absolutely. Clarity and a sense of priority. You asked earlier, and you know, about if you want to explore this sort of lifestyle, get your spending in order, how to begin. I gave more of a philosophical answer, but I could give another example of something that's very practical and kind of gets you started down this path of priorities and goals, which is to try to rein in buyer's remorse. You know, 80% of the discretionary items that most Americans buy, they express regrets about having purchased within the first year of having made the purchase. And that's 80%. Now, admittedly, that's not to say they may totally regret it, that they might not do it over again, but, you know, we all know that buyer's remorse is an epidemic. The cheapskates I surveyed regret only about 10% of their purchases. So arguably the only thing the cheapskates are giving up is that 70% of the stuff that the rest of us buy that we regret that they don't buy in the first place. A couple practical ways of starting to do that, the biggest one being to wait a week between the time you see an item in the store and when you go back to buy it. And I'm talking about a discretionary item, you know, not a perishable item or something that you truly need. And I predict that if you wait a week, more than half the time you'll never go back to buy it. And sometimes you might go back to buy it and you'll see it again and you'll think, you know, I really don't need that. So the reality is, and this is good news, that most Americans could get their financial house in order simply by focusing on needs versus want and being more certain that something they want, a non-necessity, they truly want and they won't regret. That and reigning in waste in general could bring most people's personal finances, could cast them in an entirely different light.
I agree. I think that something that the media has told us that we shouldn't want that, or it's yesterday's news to be frugal. And I don't know where along the lines that consumerism became the be-all, end-all of how we created our lifestyles, but I think that in the pursuit of consumerism, trying to fill something that wasn't there is what became our own undoing. And it sounds like the folks that you had the opportunity to share time with really feel secure with who they are, and it sounds like they all probably choose things that they desire, not because it's going to make them smarter, better, faster, good-looking, but because it's a true passion, and they don't need it to fill something else because their intentions are pretty clear.
Precisely. And I, in the book, I identified what I called the 16 sort of key mindsets of the cheapskate, mindsets about life and money and so on. And a lot of them came back to the issue of self, that these are people who are very self-confident, they're very self-aware, very self-reliant. They prefer to do things for themselves rather than pay other people to do things for them. They're not selfish. As I pointed out earlier, these people were twice as generous in their charitable giving as the average American. But this sense of self is really important because these are not people who are shy or embarrassed about their frugality. In fact, they kind of brag about it. As one told me, you know, the Joneses can kiss my assets. They're not concerned with trying to keep up with the Joneses. They're certainly not concerned about buying brand name products unless they believe that the quality justifies the price. So this sense of self is really, really very key. And I talk in the book about perhaps some ways that you can help to make that part of your personality. I don't know whether part of it is inborn as well, but certainly just the people you hang around with is very important when it comes to your attitude towards money. As one of the cheapskates told me, he said, you know, Jeff, there are two kinds of people in the world. There are those who are embarrassed to ask for separate checks when you go out to eat with them. And then those people who don't give it a second thought. They're fine to ask for separate checks. And he said, you know, if all things being equal, we prefer to hang out with the latter. And I think, you know, we don't really stop and think about that, but who we hang out with, who we adopt as friends, maybe who our kids hang out with, if they had a different attitude about money, if they didn't consider frugality to be something they're embarrassed about, that then starts the pendulum swinging in the opposite direction of being less consumer-driven.
Mm-hmm. And this whole conversation, it just keeps popping in my head that, you know, moreover, these cheapskates are actually, according to Maslow's hierarchy, probably the most self-actualized people.
Yes, I think so. Again, there's when you think about, and money is on everybody's mind. Money is such a big part of our society, money and material possessions. And, you know, the norm, if there is one, is for people to brag about all they have, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
I make this much money. I have these possessions. I mean, that's what conspicuous consumption is all about. And then there is a group of people who either don't have that or don't believe in that, and they're sort of silent. Then there's this very rare breed that I write about in my book who actually, as I say, flaunt almost the opposite. They're proud of who they are and what they've done with what they have, not necessarily what they have or what they earn. So, yeah, I think that they are probably among the most self-actualized. They don't look for material and money to define them at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, if folks are interested, because I know your dime is probably running out on the phone, if folks are interested in finding your book, how far do they have to look?
Well, Heather, you know, I am obligated by the oath I took to the Cheaphood to remind people that my books are widely available in public libraries. So you've already bought a copy, chances are, with your tax dollars, and both books are really popular requests at libraries. So look into that. Or if you buy a book, and I mean, my current book is available everywhere in bookstores and online. If you buy a copy of my book, thank you, but do us all a favor and pass it along to somebody else when you're through reading it. You know, in both my books, I try to write with a sense of humor and to provide enough interesting and sometimes bizarre stories to keep people reading. And I'm really glad with the reception this new book is getting in that regard.
Well, I am so excited to have had you on. Do you have in your Cheap Life room for a website?
I do.
My
website is ultimatecheapskate.com. And it's kind of at this point a fairly static site, but I do post a weekly blog on Hearst Publishing's website, thedailygreen.com, where I blog about this interesting overlap between living more frugally, spending less money, and saving the earth at the same time. And in fact, there's a chapter or two in my new book on that subject, making the point that if you're a typical American, the greenest thing you can do is to consume and spend less. I mean, we're 5% of the world's population, but we consume 30% of the world's resources. It would take three planet Earths if everyone on Earth consumed at the level that we do. So even though only about half the people that I surveyed for my new book had an interest or a belief in environmentalism, the other half didn't value it at all. Arguably, they all lead a very green lifestyle by virtue of the fact that they're spending and consuming less. So anyhow, long story short, you can follow me on thedailygreen.com as well. I blog there as The Green Cheapskate.
Outstanding. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on the show again, and I look forward to finishing your book and perusing your blog. As always, for those of you who are driving around right now and don't have a pencil and paper, you can surf over to our website, www.unlockyourwealth.com, for linky links to The Ultimate Cheapskate and more. We'll be right back with Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Hi, this is Scott Black with EmpowerU.net. You're listening to Heather Wagenhals on Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Has your cell phone or iPod ever run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Well, now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right now on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S industries.com.
Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm part of Two for the Road USA. I'm the X from Boomer and X. I've been test driving cars for several years, but in the last 18 months, I found it difficult to get in and out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough until I realized it was me who was too large at 220 pounds. Thanks to the Dirodori weight loss program, I lost 50 pounds. The Duradori program is physician-supervised, non-surgical, safe, and effective, and you can lose up to 5 to 10 pounds the first week and 15 to 20 in a month. I did. It controls hunger and trains your body to burn fat, all on an easy-to-follow regimen of exercise, hydration, and delicious, healthy eating. It is a three-phase program combining medication, nutrition, and exercise. This is an affordable program with counselors available at any time. I went from a size 20 to a size 10 in 7 months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on twofortheroadusa.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Duradori. Call Duradori now at 480-661-9662.
Are you a referral partner of the Unlock Your Wealth radio program? Would you like to promote your products and your services on our show? Learn about the benefits that our featured advertisers receive being part of an exclusive program where the listeners are seeking financial independence and are in need of your insurance, finance, real estate, and investment services. Call now at 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Reach the people who need your help the most with the Unlock Your Wealth radio show today.
Karen Gurm here. You probably recognize me as your segment host for News by the Numbers. Did you know I'm also one of the certified NLP practitioners and a financial coach here at the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation? The most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. Financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Or visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Hi, I'm Tony Stewart, driver of the number 14 Office Depot Old Spice Chevrolet, and you're listening to Heather Wagonhaws on Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening So I thought I wasn't on, but evidently I am on. So you are listening to Heather Wagonhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am she, your purveyor of prosperity, your money mentor, and your very bad switchboard operator. And how fun is Jeff Yeager? I like this man because his word is his bond, and he lives the deal. He calls me from a payphone to be a part of the show. If that's not living frugally, I don't know what is. I mean, that's pretty good. And I think that whether you go to that extreme or not, we can all learn from some of the things that he shared about making better choices. And so I am looking forward to reading his green blog. So, again, for those of you who are interested, we will have links to Jeff Yeager, his website, and his blog up on our website later on this afternoon. Now for some minutes on your money. our stock market has been doing some interesting things, to say the least. And I think it's, how do I put this? We're becoming very reactionary in our society, and that's really frustrating me. And I think that the change that we were promised by the last presidential election isn't the change we thought we voted for those of you that did vote in that direction. And I think that's why a lot of things are not going exactly as we had planned. But given that little foundation, I'd like to talk about Thomas Hoenig. The Fed's most vocal hawk has questioned the now popular notion that the U.S. economy faces a deflationary bust. Hoenig is the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City, and he renewed his call for the Fed to end its promises to hold down interest rates. He said in a speech Friday that the Fed's promise to keep its short-term interest rates targets near zero isn't aiding the economic recovery, which he is contending is stronger than commonly believed. He says, in fact, that we are experiencing a better pace of recovery at this time than at this point in our previous two economic recoveries. And Hoenig also goes on to say that the current recovery is in its first year saw a GDP growth of an average of 3.2. And the growth rate for 91 was 2.61, and for 2001, it was 1.92. What's more, Hoenig says, is the promise to keep short-term interest rates near zero risks inadvertently adding uncertainty that tends to reduce consumption and business investment. And there's other things that are a factor to business investment that we'll talk about here shortly. But it puts the Fed on the path to repeating errors it made in the last recovery. Alan Greenspan kept the Fed funds rate at 1%, even though the economy expanded at high single-digit rates, he says. Policymakers grapple with persistently high unemployment and popular frustration the economic rebound hasn't been stronger. But what measuring stick is my question? What measuring stick are we using for this unemployment? Are we counting people in the unemployment rate that aren't truly seeking jobs? Or are we really talking about people who are underemployed or not employed at all? And I think that our numbers are skewed, and I think our numbers are skewed because we're trying to illustrate something on behalf of or for this presidency that he's the one to be the savior. But the people are starting to revolt, and we have to be cognizant of the social climate that is predicating or it is precipitated by our current economic climate. The Fed funds rate is the least of our concerns, in my estimation, although how do I borrow money as a business person? How do I know where I'm going to be inventory-wise? How do I properly price my product to stay competitive and still be able to maintain my business integrity and keep the people that I have employed and turn a profit? Because that is the goal of being an entrepreneur, is to build wealth and to earn money. It's not a charity or a nonprofit. So in that vein, I can understand why he wants the rates to go up. And the rates should go up because what we're going to do is we're going to have a problem with the value of our dollar. I think he's on target there. But the bigger concern is, what are we doing about taxes? Because that determines how many people someone employs, how much money someone is going to make because of the distribution, or the, I should say the redistribution of that revenue for businesses by the government is going to dictate how that person employs people. And we would have greater employment if business owners could know for certain where taxes are headed, what their obligation is going to be. This whole Obamacare thing is going to make employers less likely to employ because that's another 20% out of their pocket that they're going to have to come up with. Obamacare is not free. And I think that people miss that point. All they've done is shift the burden from the consumer to the employer. And insurance companies are still going wild while they can, declining people coverage. So when we switch to Obamacare, that we're going to have things so that the insurance companies can still be in a position to make money, because that's what they're in business to do. They're not in business to not turn a profit. They have shareholders they have to answer to. People invested in them for a reason. That was to make money. And you can't begrudge somebody the opportunity to make money. You can't do that. That's why we have unemployment where it is. Because if I can't accurately predict my costs, how can I appropriately price my products and employ people to sell those products and perform other ancillary functions to keep my business running if I don't know what my tax situation is going to be? I think that's our bigger concern, and I think that's what we need to be focusing on as a nation, as when we start looking at the macroeconomic picture, because ultimately that affects what our individual economic situation is. If we demand the redistribution of wealth from the people who are being productive, how can those people properly employ us as individuals? If you are not interested in being your own entrepreneur or a businessman and you want to work for someone or with someone, then you have to do your part politically to set up the right political climate to create the economic climate that we need so those folks will take risks because the rewards are there, and when they are able to pursue and receive the rewards commensurate to the risk they're going to take, then those people are going to employ you, and then your microeconomic financial system within yourself and your family can function. But there's this relationship that we have to pay attention to. And if we're going to have our hand out because we want to take things, that means the hand that's currently holding on to something has to let go of its grip. It's pretty profound. So if we let go of our grip, what is that grip on? Our job security, our current income stream? What are you as an individual willing to give up so you can get from Uncle Sam? And I think that this is the bigger question. And the answer, I can't give you. You have to come up with that answer yourself. But if you take a look and listen to what Jeff Yeager was sharing, as these cheapskates, these people who choose frugality, choose control of their own lives. Like the person who was eligible for government subsidy but chose not to take it. Because when you relinquish that control to a government entity, to a social state, you relinquish control of your own life. Now you're at their mercy. So as we think about this, wouldn't it be better to be in control of our own lives and in charge of our own lives? That's where the self-actualization comes from. That's where the internal satisfaction for what we have becomes so valuable, because we are secure as individuals as to who we are and what our personal value is and what we bring to our friends and our family and our community and our employers. Then and only then do you become free. But when you start relinquishing this stuff because of desire, because of want that you can't satisfy, we lose control, and then we're at someone else's mercy. just take a look about what's going around this country between those who choose control over their own lives and are willing to work and those who have relinquished control. And now those that have been placated for so long are starting to revolt because they want more and more, because enough is never enough. So think about what Jeff Yeager said about being frugal, because it's about reaching self-actualization and contentment. And if we don't think about what our contentment is, how do we know we're ever content or satisfied? I see this all the time in my stepson. Got to have another video game. Well, forget the fact that he has 300. He still needs one more. He doesn't know where his satisfaction or contentment is. He is trying to fill a void inside himself, an insecurity. And he's doing this with outward materialistic things. But these are only things that can be filled inside by ourselves, by how we view ourselves. And that's very tough, to sit in a corner and think about what it is that we truly want for ourselves and for others. Well, that's just my little, let me put my soapbox away and tuck that back under the desk. But anyway, I just thought that was interesting for Minutes on Your Money. And when I saw that Fed comment, I thought that was pretty interesting. So anyway, just my two cents, take it, spend it as you like, give it back, give it to someone else. But always remember this, when you go to vote, how many bums or homeless street people have ever given you a job? And if you can answer that question with a statement that says, yes, they've given me plenty, they've employed me, well, then I guess you can continue to vote for all of these subsidies and freebies and government expansion. But unless and until a homeless person gives me a job, I'm going to bet on the man that's willing to take the risk, who deserves the reward for going out and reaching outside of himself to come up with a plan and an opportunity that I can have employment. I don't know many homeless, penniless folks that have ever given me a job. It's always the guy with the money and the willingness to take the risk. So think about that. We have so much more coming up on the second half of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. Stay tuned. We have Coco Brown checking in, our Unlock Your Wealth protege, on this week's Break the Budget on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. Stay tuned for more.
Hey, this is Coco Brown from the hit radio show, The Truth with Coco Brown, on HollywoodOutlaws.com radio. And you're listening to me on Heather Wagenhall. Hey, this is Coco Brown from the hit radio show, The Truth with Coco Brown, on HollywoodOutlaws.com radio. And you're listening to me on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from Peak Performance Seminars and the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching could be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420, or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Heather Wagenhall here from the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation, and for those of you who choose financial coaching to help you achieve financial wellness and future financial independence, we have a special offer for you. For those that call today, the next 20 folks that sign up for financial coaching will receive a special package. In addition to their coaching, they will receive both Season 1 and Season 2 of our Best of CDs. These are the interviews from today's top personal finance and investment experts to help you accomplish your chosen path, and a copy of my book, Yes, You Can. Call now, 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Be sure to ensure your financial wellness today by calling 1-866-966-9420 or visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K-Free Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there, totally.
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Stay tuned for the second half of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio with the...
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And it's that time again for the keys to riches. And the break the budget key is this week's key. I'm so excited because this is where we finally get to sort out and identify some true hang-ups financially for ourselves. And everybody's like, why do we have to hurry up and wait? Why do we have to hurry up and wait? And guess what? The waiting is over. It is now time to go through our finances and figure out where we need to be. Now, for those of you who are joining us for the first time, again, welcome to the broadcast. We are so excited to bring you the Unlock Your Wealth radio program each and every week. And this segment is our Keys to Riches financial wellness series. And the Keys to Riches is simply a baker's dozen of financial concepts that not only teach us how to think like the rich and be in control of our own money, but it also gives us specific techniques to create or fix your credit, reduce debt, save and invest, building wealth through real estate, all while transforming our current financial habits into healthy money management skills. And this week is our Break the Budget key. And I liken budgeting with dieting. It's something that we go on to and off of. And usually when we diet, it has ramifications that end up on our backside. And our financial backside on the debt backside seems to just grow and grow whenever we get into a budget scenario. We've forsaken something for something else, and what we know about ourselves and human nature is that we have impulses and desires, and you can only subjugate those for so long. And you can go on a green bean diet and eat green beans every day and lose 50 pounds. And every day that you walk by that chocolate cake and you say, no, I'm never eating chocolate cake again, and you're sticking to your green beans, ultimately, even the greatest of disciplinarians and super in-control folks who have the intestinal fortitude to forego that chocolate cake, ultimately, through repeated exposure, thinking about that chocolate cake, will ultimately have to have that chocolate cake. And instead of just taking a small slice and allowing ourselves a little piece of chocolate cake now and then, because we've forsaken it for so long on our diet that we wind up snarfing the whole chocolate cake. And how does that manage well with our bodies? Well, first off, it's just fuel. And like if you were filling your gas tank and you hit a certain point that it was full, if you kept going, it would spill on the ground. And when we fill our physical gas tank and it's over full, it spills onto our backsides, our thighs, our arms, and everywhere else in our bellies. But what happens when we can't fill our financial coffers in quite the same manner, and we can't live within what's in our gas tank, and then we go to a credit card and we overfill and overfill? This goes to satisfaction, understanding what our satisfaction is, understanding what our spending is, where are our triggers. So just like dieting, if we forsake spending on some particular item for a very long time, instead of making allowances for it and properly planning for specific expenditures, and then we just go nuts and we blow it, now it has dire consequences. And if we could have absorbed some of these smaller financial outlays along the way. So we have to get away from the whole budgeting idea, and we have to focus ourselves on not doing that any longer. We need to say, I'm done with budgeting. Budgeting statistically doesn't work. What does work, just like dieting, is a healthy exercise and eating plan. We have a healthy savings and spending plan. And because it's a plan, what we do is we don't sacrifice. What we do is we strategically place instead. You can have chocolate cake now and again where it doesn't affect your waistline if you eat it at certain times of the day, if you eat it in the morning where you're more likely to burn off that sugar, or you make sure that you've had an extra amount of exercise to compensate for that new intake of fuel, and you can balance it out. So we need to plan financially in that same fashion. Make our expenditures that are discretionary in appropriate areas and often enough to soothe that need to spend, but not destroy what we're trying to accomplish financially. And that's the importance of today's key. And so all those receipts that you've been saving for the last 6 weeks, we get to break them out and start sorting through them. And what we're going to do once we sort through these is we are going to categorize them. And for those of you who are key members at the Unlock Your Wealth website, you will have access to this list of expenditures for the next 24 hours. If you're a premium member, the savings and spending categories are always there for you in your vault. But for our featured strategy today, we're going to offer for 24 hours for key members, and our key membership is our free membership. It costs you nothing to participate other than you have to go and visit the website and use the tools regularly. That's all we ask, is that you make use of that information. It's there for you to create immediate financial wellness and your future financial independence. And so we're going to take this list of categories, and we're going to put all of our income in certain categories and all of our expenditures in others, and we're going to get this accurate snapshot of where our life is financially. But we're going to learn a few more things of that. But first, let's check in with Coco before we talk about those things, because I want to see how Coco is doing with her plan. Welcome to the broadcast, Coco. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Heather?
Oh, I'm so glad to be with you. How is it living with the movie star now?
You know what? I had to put an extra room on the house for his ego. it's so cute, though. It's so cute. He so deserves it, and I'm just accommodating my baby's ego right now.
yes, because you never know when you need that reciprocal stroking, so it's good to be
exactly.
The stroker, because at some
right.
point
now
you're going to need to be.
We have an ego room.
I love it. That's so good. Well, we have been at this now for 7 weeks, if you can believe that or not. This is our seventh session together, and
yes.
I was just going through our coaching file, and I was looking at some of these questions that we talked about when we did our coaching intake, our perceptions about money questionnaire. And here we have that, I like this one, this question. We lead you with, when I was a kid, this is what I passively observed about money, and your answer was, it always magically appeared when it was needed.
Exactly.
So is it still magically appearing after our hope for the best plan for the worst last week?
No. No,
I was kind of grueling with you.
I know. I'm going to have to, you know, revamp some things, you know, when, it appears, but, oh, it goes so fast. So it's like, okay, how do I keep my money in the bank longer?
Yeah. Well, I know that last week is a tough week because, you know, hope for the best, plan for the worst. We have to think about and realize our worst fears. We have to, like, mentally live that nightmare in order to prepare ourselves for those potential what-ifs. And now we can't think about everything, but there are things that we need to consider, and there are some things that we can prepare ourselves for, either by saving actively, by creating emergency funds, or obtaining proper insurances and putting those in place. And I know I was especially tough on you when you said, well, I'll just live with my parents. And I'm like, well, what if that doesn't work out? I mean, number one, there's always the possibility that they may not be there. But what if they just said, you know what, this is your shot. We want you to handle this. And so coming to those kind of terms are a little stark. when we have to think about, what if our plan B isn't really a solid plan B? What if it doesn't work out the way it should?
Right.
So, and now you just came back from your family reunion, Steph.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now you've probably had your fill and say, okay, now I really want to hunker down. I don't want to go back there. Maybe that's not so viable for me.
Mm-hmm.
And now this week we're going to take a look at all of those receipts that we've been saving and get going on sorting out our true wants versus needs. But I'm going to hold off on how we deal with today's key first, because mm-hmm. I want to know where we stand with a couple of these other questions. When we first began, we have question number 9 on our perceptions about money questionnaire mm-hmm. was, when I think about my job specifically, it makes me feel like, and your answer was, I should have handled my money better in those good years. So it mm-hmm. sounded like when we first started, we were living with a bit of regret. Are we still experiencing that regret that woulda, coulda, shoulda?
Not as much, because I know that I'm beginning to revamp and rebudget and take care of some things. You know, so now that I'm getting back on track with an actual budget, I don't have as much regret, but I will say it's still there. I mean, there's still some there. I will say that.
Mm-hmm. And when do you think that first started, or is that something that happens now only when you reflect, or was the regret there when you were spending the money?
The regret was there more so when I would spend the money and then realize that I had overspent and didn't really, you know, keep a track of my spending, and then, you know, having to, 1 minute you're fine financially, you're like, I'm okay, and the next minute you're like, oh, my God, where'd my money go, and I need something now or whatever. And, you know, just trying to get into a better area, a better place where I'm spending my money, but I'm keeping better track of my spending so I don't overspend and I'm not having those moments of, okay, I've got to wait now a week for more money and then trying to make up for stuff that I should have done before, and just keeping a better track of my spending. I'm watching my money more than I have in the past, and I'm realizing that I was spending frivolously and spending on things that really didn't need to be spent. I've actually cut back on a lot of things that have actually put money back into the account that I didn't before, and, you know, just trying to get into a better place that I'm not freaking out and having these moments of, you know, hysteria where I'm like, oh, God, I've overspent, and now what I do, you know, we had that this past weekend at my family reunion where we thought we had this amount of money and come to find out it had been overspent and had, you know, revamping at the last minute. And I was like, you know what? We can't do this anymore. We have to really know where our money is going so that we have a better tally of it and we're not having, you know, situations where we're 3,000 miles away from home and we don't have the money.
Mhm. Mhm. Now, as we worked a few weeks back on repatterning ourselves, when we get to that emotional spending part, how have we done in our knee-jerk reaction? When we worked the reframe and you found a substitute behavior of doing some cleaning in the house, have we had any of those moments of confrontation where the urge to splurge was upon us?
Yes. And definitely, you know, going, okay, this needs to be fixed. Like, you know, mm-hmm. stopping myself from doing it.
And have we been successful at nipping it in the bud?
I'm going to say 70-30.
Okay.
I'm getting better.
Okay, so tell me about, let's talk about that 30. What was going on in that 30% of the time where we continued to make the ineffective decisions?
Impulse buying, you know, thinking I needed something right then and there, or going to the store saying I needed one thing, and next thing I know, I've bought a bunch of things, and then I'm, I've overspent. Like a prime example,
you know, going to, you know, Walmart to get one thing and walking out with 20, and you think you're going to spend $15 and now you've spent $100, you know, and then regretting it like, oh, why did I do that? You know, I just paid this card off. Now I've, you know, put the money back on it or whatever. And realizing that a lot of what you bought was just an impulse buy and you didn't have to buy it. And unfortunately, you have that regret moment afterwards. And really just staying focused that when I'm going somewhere to get one thing, I get that one thing, and that's it. Not walking out with a bunch of other stuff that was just an impulse buy.
Mm-hmm. And let's focus on some of your successes now. In that 70% of the time where the urge to splurge came about, and you were successful at nipping those impulses in the bud, how did that go for you? Can you think of one specific instance where you were your own hero?
Was about to run out and do a little pampering you know, say, okay, I'm going to get my eyebrows done, this, that, and the third. And I said, you know what? I can do that myself. I can save that $15. It's crazy, it sounds waxing. I can do that myself. I can save that $30. Taking that money and actually saying, okay, I'm going to pay a bill. I'm going to pay something off. I'm going to put something on this. Saying, okay, I'm going to wait and get a, I'm not going to just purposely buy this, you know, purchase here because I can probably go and find something else out at, you know, that I have at home. I don't need to buy, you know, I don't need to go and buy this dress. Let me see what's in my closet, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great because that is precisely what we need to focus on, is making use of that gap, that space between stimulus and response where we can make a choice. And good for you to make some really powerful choices because, you know, we all can wax our eyebrows. The boys probably don't know so much about that as us girls do. But, you know, it just, it feels good when someone else does it. It's just, and it's hard to replace that feeling, but $15 can be a minimum payment on a credit card. It can be the last little bit that gets you over a higher interest charge. $15 can do a lot for you. I mean,
yeah,
it could be a change of gas on an economy car. There's a lot that $15 can do. And you should be really proud of yourself that you were able to say, you know what, just for today, I'm going to make this choice. And next time I need my eyebrows waxed, I can take a look at where I am financially and can I afford this expenditure or should I do it myself again until I'm in a better financial position? And each time you do that, Coco, it bolsters your confidence as a great money manager. It's like its own affirmation when you're reinforcing a good pattern. So you should be really proud of yourself for making those. I mean, people are like, some people, especially guys, are like, what's 15 bucks? That's like three beers, you know? They're like, that's no big deal.
But it adds up.
But it does. It's $15 here, $10 there. You have the same syndrome I do when I walk into Walmart and I need one thing, and before you know it, I've got $103 things because I was able to justify it because it was only $3, but I didn't need 99 of that $3 item.
Mm-hmm.
And every time that you can focus on and execute that solid reaffirming pattern, it takes you one step closer to where you want to be, and your financial wellness grows. Every time you make that quality decision, it just bolsters your confidence, and that's financial wellness, being able to control what goes on upstairs. And when you can control what goes on upstairs in your brain, your wallet always follows. It'll always follow. So I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thanks.
No, I am. I really am. It's, you know, you should be thanking yourself. I didn't do the work. You're doing the work. I'm just helping you see the path. So,
right.
So all of that congratulations is yours. And the only one you need to thank is yourself because you did the work. Now, this week's key is break the budget. And now we're going to see the value of all of those last 6 weeks' worth of saving all of those receipts. People wonder why we have to save for so long, but what we're doing is we're creating a more organic snapshot of what we do with our money, and not just what we do with our money, but why. Because we spend differently at different times. We spend differently at the beginning of the paycheck versus the end of the paycheck. So we cover at least a couple of pay cycles when we do it for 6 weeks. And then we also spend differently at the beginning of the month versus the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to gain a lot of insight as you sort and organize these receipts.
Okay.
And what we want to do, now because you are your own independent businesswoman, you're going to have business expenses that are legitimate related business expenses, like your travel, like your costuming, and some of that stuff that is inescapable, that, you know, hotels and meals on the road. Now, what we're going to do when we start sorting through these receipts is we're going to separate our professional from our personal.
Okay.
Sometimes when we are independent business people, we get hung up, and I'm guilty of this too. So that's how I know this, is I've done this myself and saying, well, I'm traveling on the road and it's for business.
Okay.
And instead of having a healthy, inexpensive alternative, I go for a fast food, unhealthy, fairly expensive choice by justifying it because I am, quote, on the road, unquote. I don't know if you have done that, but I know that I do that, and I can justify it as a business expense. But the reality of expenditures like that is this, that on the road or not, business expense or not, the accountability comes back to you because you're the workhorse. You know, the expense department is Miss President Coco Brown. It doesn't go to XYZ Corporation when you submit that expense.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the challenges you may have, and we will know this once we sort through our receipts, is are we doing that? So that's going to be something that we'll be looking at as we sort through our receipts.
Okay.
And another thing that we want to be cognizant of is as we're logging in our receipts, and I know you're pretty disciplined with the spreadsheet, make note of the dates of these expenditures. And as we go through and we log all the receipts, first we want to just log everything. So we want to make sure that we have the category that it is. Is it food, clothing, shelter? And for those who are listening to today's broadcast and our key members, for 24 hours, we will have on our key membership area for 24 hours a list of all of the categories that you can break your expenses into. And as we do this, for 24 hours, you can download this worksheet. These are the categories that you want to be breaking down your expenses into. But we also want to make sure that we're identifying our dates on each expenditure.
Okay.
Because the value of this is after we log each and every receipt, we're going to see not only what we're spending things on, but when. Because the when can give us some insight behind the why we've done some of these expenditures that we should have corrected with our six-step reframe and our stuck to unstoppable.
Okay.
So with that, we should be able to start seeing where these recurrent patterns are and sort of be aware of when they're happening to us. Now, there are general accepted guidelines, and I got this information from when I was an underwriter at a mortgage company, and we were underwriting mortgage loans. There are certain percentages of our monthly income that are allocated to certain things. So as we go through and we add up all of this stuff, not just our expenditures, but what our debt service is, which is the amount of monthly income that goes to paying our credit. And I'm not talking about mortgages or housing. I'm specifically speaking about car payments, credit cards, student loans, signature loans, RVs, recreational vehicles, anything that we borrowed money for. And
okay.
To give you an idea of where our debt service should be for all of that, and this is where people start to have the heart attack.
Okay.
Should be less than 10% of our gross income.
Okay.
And our car payment shouldn't be any more than 3 or 4% of that total amount. Ideally.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So people don't realize that. They'll get these leases for $800 a month, and ideally their income only supports a $300 payment for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we make these expenditures, and of course the lenders want us to borrow, but you know, we have what we call discretionary income. We have to have enough set aside in our discretionary income to be able to pay for those other incidentals that we may not need so often, but we still need. Like regular clothing replacement. I mean, it's just a fact of life. That stuff wears out. Once in a while, we might want to go out to eat and not pay for it on our credit card. So what we need to be doing is going through all of this stuff, and we want to get our target is to, if we are not at minimum payment debt service under 10%, our first goal is to reduce our debt to get our debt service under 10%. It could be trading in our vehicles to get new vehicles that have a lower payment or no payment at all. It could be restructuring the order in which we pay down our debt so we can reduce our monthly minimum obligation.
Okay.
It could be a combination of all of these things. How do we do this? To get under that 10% threshold, because ideally our housing should be less than 28% of our total income. So, for example, if you make $3,000 a month,
yes,
your monthly housing for rent, if you're a renter or if you are a homeowner, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance needs to be less than one-third of our gross monthly income.
Okay.
Now what we need
down,
to find... Pardon me?
I'm just writing this down, girl.
I can hear the pencils. I can hear the pencil against the paper.
Okay.
I used to be a guest on Mac Newton's show from time to time. And you
okay.
could hear, all you could hear was his voice and my pencil against the desk. As I was taking voracious notes.
Oh, yeah.
So these are the targets that we want to be under. Ideally, but we're just starting out, ideally, we don't want 10% of our income going to any debt service because we want to be working on sinking funds for our next real estate investment. So that's where we're going further down the road as we look further down and We have our Remember Real Estate key in a few keys. I can't believe we're clipping through this season so fast.
Right.
But those are just two targets we want to meet. Now, this doesn't include utilities. This doesn't include child care. This doesn't include date night. All of this stuff needs to be coming out of our discretionary income amount. And where we want to be after we do our little analysis of where I am,
yes,
we need to set up our targets based on our dreams with deadlines. So all those goals that we wrote for ourselves, for our financial goals, we need to blend where we need to be and our short, mid, and long-term plans for getting there. And that first thing is to get our debt service under 10%.
Okay.
That's going to be our first goal as we move forward to get on our way to financial independence.
Right.
And the only way to do that is to get ourselves positioned to become homeowners and real estate investors, because that's where the power lays.
Right.
That's where you can leverage yourself systematically, safely, and create income stream for today and capital gains for our future, where we need to be to have that house that you envisioned during our Dreams with Deadlines segment, where we visualized what it would be like seeing the kids playing in the yard, having the family over with the swimming pool and all of that stuff. We need to focus on our visualization, but we need to take our snapshot for today and create our spending plan for the next 3 months, because then we get to our review, revise, and recommit key to see how well we are doing. We're going to see what's the difference between where we are and where we want to go, and how close or far away we are from that. And that's a key coming down the road where we learn how to do that. So your job is to sort based on all these categories. And again, key members can download it for free. Premium members, you always have 24/7 access to any of our strategies. But for the key members, for the next 24 hours, you'll be able to download this worksheet yourself and be able to incorporate these categories as we break down our needs versus our wants and identify where we are in our spending. Now, in addition to reducing that 10% debt service, we need to be focused on the first 10% of our monthly income.
Okay.
And you know where that goes? Directly to savings. We call this Break the Budget key a savings and spending plan for a reason. It's no mistake or coincidence that those words are in that order. We must save first, pay our bills, and then live off the rest. And I loved when we had Charles Buffington on, because he said to tithe or give 10, save 10, and then live off the other 80%. And I thought, what a great plan. What a great plan. David Bach, who is the Get Rich Slowly and Retire Rich guy, says, work the first hour of every business day for you. That money is yours, and you need to save that 10%.
Okay.
And then we are going to work with the rest and shape the rest to get where we want to go.
Okay. That's 10% off the top.
Yep. 10% off the top. No matter
what I make, I take 10% off the top, and that goes to savings.
Correct.
Got it.
And you need to learn to live within that other 90%.
Okay.
But you got to put you first. You have to be the first person in line to love you before anybody else can love you, And you have to be the first person that's willing to go to the mat for you. Because my favorite phrase is, if it's meant to be, it's up to me. You can't count on anyone else. And no one else is going to do it for you. You need to be the first one in line. And then if others follow, that's great. But you need to be the first one in line to save. You need to be the first one in line to make it happen. Can you do that?
Okay. Yes. Yes.
You can put you first?
Yes. Yes. Something I haven't done, but, you know, I'm getting better. But, yes, I totally am with that.
Answer me this question. What is the value in putting others first? How does that benefit you positively? What's your positive intent and purpose by doing that?
I guess, you know, it's just one of those things that you're taught, you're raised that when you look out for other people and you do things for other people, it's like some great reward to you emotionally or spiritually or whatever, but people don't tell you that a lot of times it puts you on the back burner, and then when it comes time for you to take care of yourself, you're lacking, and those same people that you probably helped aren't going to be able to help you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's
kind of
a catch-22. They don't finish the phrase when they say, you know, do unto others, and
mm-hmm.
you need to be thoughtful of others and help out others, but you have to help yourself first. I always go back to this analogy. When you're on an airplane and the flight attendant is going through all of the safety stuff, they tell you to put your mask on first before
mm-hmm.
assisting another passenger. Because if you don't have oxygen, how are you going to breathe to be able to help somebody else?
Right.
While the meek may inherit the earth, it's the only beatitude I remember, until such time, we have to take care of ourselves. We have to be the first person in line. So as you sort through all of your finances and all that you're doing for others, when you get to the bottom of the numbers, and you say, all right, this is how much I made. This is my total income stream. You need to put that 10% right off the top. And you need to feel good about it.
Okay.
And you need to be the first one to do that.
Okay.
It's
so
quintessential for your...
I'm sorry?
It's quintessential for your savings and spending plan to work, to be the first one to save.
Yes, so it's like you pay everybody else, pay yourself first. And I have heard that term so many times. And, you know, a lot of times we just think about the money and we pay the bills and then we forget about ourselves. But I've heard that term so many times, you know, in my lifetime, you know, you pay yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, I know what I'm making from these gigs and, you know, appearances and everything. And, okay, if they're going to pay me $2,000, I put in my mind, well, I'm only making $1,800 because $200 of that goes into savings, period.
Perfect. That's the way to look at it.
And that's how I budget what I'll pay out is, you know, minus the 10% of whatever I'm making, and that's what will go out to bills. And that $200, I don't even think about it because it automatically goes into savings.
Perfect. That's
okay.
Exactly where you need to be.
Okay.
I'm so proud of you for identifying that right out of the gate. We'll be back with more Heather Wagenhals, Unlock Your Wealth Radio. You've been listening to Coco Brown. As we go through Coco breaking her budget, stay tuned for our nuts and bolts coming up right after this.
Hi, this is Scott Black with EmpowerU.net. You're listening to Heather Wagenhals on Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Are you a referral partner of the Unlock Your Wealth Radio program? Would you like to promote your products and your services on our show? Learn about the benefits that our featured advertisers receive being part of an exclusive program where the listeners are seeking financial independence and are in need of your insurance, finance, real estate, and investment services. call now at 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Reach the people who need your help the most with the Unlock Your Wealth radio show today.
Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm part of Two for the Road USA. I'm the X from Boomer and X. I've been test driving cars for several years, but in the last 18 months, I found it difficult to get in and out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough until I realized it was me who was too large at 220 pounds. Thanks to the Duradori weight loss program, I lost 50 pounds. The Duradori program is physician-supervised, non-surgical, safe, and effective, and you can lose up to 5 to 10 pounds the first week and 15 to 20 in a month. I did. It controls hunger and trains your body to burn fat, all on an easy-to-follow regimen of exercise, hydration, and delicious, healthy eating. It is a three-phase program combining medication, nutrition, and exercise. This is an affordable program with counselors available at any time. I went from a size 20 to a size 10 in 7 months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on twofortheroadusa.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Duradori. Call Duradori now at 480-661-9662.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power, or charge your device right on the spot. Available now! For $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, Industries.com. Like, go there, totally!
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. It is time for the nuts and bolts for this week's key in our Keys to Riches Wellness series. And our key statement for this week is, I can haphazardly go through life hoping and praying I will retire okay, but by kicking my budget habit, I know I can create a healthy savings and spending plan for life and ensure my golden years will be truly that. Golden. I can haphazardly go through life hoping and praying I will retire okay, but by kicking my budget habit, I can create a healthy savings and spending plan for life and ensure that my golden years will truly be just that, golden. Our key affirmation this week is, I have a healthy savings and spending plan. I have a healthy savings and spending plan. Now, we say our affirmations several times throughout the day. The first time we say them is right before bed to focus our subconscious mind on our higher purpose, and while we get restful, restorative sleep, our brain works diligently to create the new neural pathways we need to have these things occur in our lives. And then after a rested, refreshed night's sleep, The first thing you do when you wake up in the morning, don't roll over and kiss the spouse or let the dog out. No, you must get your affirmations out and say them again out loud to focus the higher purpose of our day and have our conscious mind in line with our higher purpose. It's not to run errands and placate other people. No, it's to create financial freedom, which equals choice for you and your family. And then anytime we encounter negativity throughout the day, whether it's from a coworker, a boss, a subordinate, a spouse, a child, a sibling, a parent, whoever tries to rain on your parade, after the negative encounter, you are going to find a place where you can say your affirmations out loud again. Because what we think about, we bring about, and we don't want to be focusing on that negativity that we just encountered. We want to refocus our brain, again, to the higher purpose of creating choice in our life through financial freedom. And our key action item for this week is to categorize all of your receipts, paying particular attention to how much you're spending, on what it is that you're spending, and specifically when. And if your income adds up and it is less than your outgo, you must re-strategize your savings and spending plan. Now, when it comes to kicking some things to the curb for a while, we want to make sure that we're doing it for a while. Some expenditures we may be able to eliminate totally and not miss them. But what we want to do is employ some strategies from our other shows that we have learned how to find new and creative ways to receive the same benefit those certain discretionary expenditures gave us, but where we can do it on a more economical fashion. So we don't necessarily have to give up whatever that particular thing is, but change that to, instead of a daily necessity, a luxury item. And instead of going to the espresso bar every stinking day and spending $5 to $10, maybe we make it a luxury item and we just do it once or twice a week. Maybe we start and end our week with that. Or maybe we go to the espresso bar in the middle of the week to get us through to the weekend. However you can structure things so you're not completely eliminating, because, again, with budgeting and dieting infers sacrifice. So we're not sacrificing. We're just restructuring. And with this reframe, these things that we took for granted every day, once we make them into a luxury item, may actually benefit us in a better way, not just by our pocketbook, but maybe on the inside too. The goal is to get to that saving 10 off the top, less than 10 for debt service, and then the 80% we live on the rest. And when we get further into review, revise, and recommit and our Remember Real Estate keys, we will show you how to put the final touches on your savings and spending plan. Thanks so much to Coco Brown for popping by and letting us do some protege work as we mentor her to financial freedom. And again, I so appreciate Jeff Yeager spending the dime to pick up the payphone, and I actually think it's probably 35 cents now if you can find a payphone to use one. And so the show appreciates his investing in our show, not only personally with his time, but with his money as well. For more tips, tricks, tools, and information to help you create financial independence for you and your family, and to receive the benefits of immediate financial wellness, visit our website at www.unlockyourwealth.com. Sign up for our free key membership. Again, our categories for the savings and spending plan that you are going to craft today is going to be available for 24 hours in the key membership spot. I'm uploading it as we speak. I'm multitasking. And you will be able to use that information to help shape where it is you need to be, and figure out creative ways to maintain the same lifestyle for less. Thanks so much for joining us today. Remember to tune in Tuesday so you can start your day the millionaire way with us on our Tuesday show, Millionaire Nuts and Bolts from Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And as always, our midweek update is going to have plenty of topics and tools for you to become financially independent as well. It's been a pleasure serving you all this Saturday morning. Go forth and be prosperous. I'm Heather Wagenhals, your purveyor of prosperity, your money mentor, your maven of moolah, thanking you for joining us and investing your time in yourself to create financial independence for you and your family. Finally, financial freedom can be yours.